Well, hello everyone. Welcome to part two of this version of the Tech Doctor podcast, where Lisa Salinger and I are exploring the Braille Note Apex and the Braille Sense Plus. In part one, we really focused primarily on the hardware, and we talked a lot about how these units feel, how the keys are laid out, and how they operate. And in part two, we're going to talk more about the software that's in these units. But before we do that, how are you doing this afternoon, Lisa?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you for coming back for round two. It's often people do round one and discover that's enough, but you're brave enough to try it again. So thank you very much for doing that.
Sounds like a boxing match.
Yeah, it sort of can feel that way sometimes. During part one, when I was describing the keys on the Braille Sense Plus, somehow I inadvertently left four keys out of the description. And these are keys that are located on the top of the unit. HEMS refers to them as function keys, F1 through F4. They are located just to either side of the space bar, with F1 and F2 being on the left side of the space bar, F3 and F4 on the right side. These function keys can operate independently, doing things when they're pressed by themselves. They can be pressed together to do different things, and they can be pressed with other keys on the keyboard to do yet even more things. So it's a good thing that I remembered to mention them and not leave them out, because they will come in handy as we talk about the software in these units. I will say that the Braille Sense Plus is much like operating a Windows computer. That's the way they designed the interface. So the F1 key is really like pressing the start button on a Windows machine, or the Windows key to bring up the start menu. Because what this does is brings up what they call the program menu, and it brings it up from anywhere that you are in the machine, and that's the main menu of the unit, which lists all the programs that you have available to you. The F2 key is like a menu key from within side a program. So it's really kind of like pressing the Alt key in a lot of Windows programs, where it will bring up the menu for that particular program. The F3 key is much like the Windows Tab key. The F4 key is much like the Windows Escape key. And as I said, when you use these keys together, they do yet another set of functions. For example, F1 and F2 together gives you a page up command. F3 and F4 gives you a page down command. F1 and F4 together will take you to a taskbar where you can see all your running programs, and the Braille Sense Plus will run 7 to 9 programs at the same time, so you can do multitasking. The F2 and the F3 keys together will let you cycle through your programs that are running, much like if you pressed Alt Tab on a Windows machine. And then when you combine these keys with other keys on the keyboard, they can do various other things like adjust the speech parameters, adjust the scrolling of the Braille display. You can even do a soft reset of the machine by pressing a couple function keys with a combination of keys on the keyboard. Those are the primary functions that are provided by these F1 through F4 keys. And I didn't want to go on without mentioning those. So I guess now we're probably ready to start talking about the software that these units run. Any comment you want to make about any of this before we delve into that, Lisa?
Sure. And that is just, I'm listening to your description of the function keys, and it's very interesting because, of course, the Braille Note has much of the same functionality, but the functionality is taken care of through the thumb keys or through the keys on the keyboard. For example, the equivalent of pressing escape might be the letter E with a space on the Braille Note keyboard. And it's very interesting because some people do better with just a few keys and then various combinations of those keys will get the job done, and some do better with more keys, where the keys might not do maybe quite as many things. I mean, still multiple uses, but for some people, less is more, and some people really like the addition of those extra keys and buttons. So I really love that there are options and that people have these choices so that they can ultimately use what's going to work best for them.
Yeah, and like you were saying yesterday, I'm of the old Braille and Speak, Braille Note school, and so I tend to use keyboard commands more than I use these function keys, because like the Braille Note, on the Braille Sense Plus, you can issue a space with an E to deliver an escape command, which would exit you out of a program or take you up a level in a menu or something like that. So most of these function key commands do also have keyboard equivalents, which to me is great that people have options. But if you're a bit of a geek like I am and you think you need to try to remember all the possibilities, it quickly becomes pretty confusing because there's so many different ways to do everything.
Yes. I am curious, and I meant to ask you this yesterday or when we did the last one. The Braille Sense, is there a QWERTY model of that as well? Or is it strictly the Braille keyboard?
No, there is a QWERTY model of the Braille Sense Plus.
So we're both using the Braille models of our various note takers. So just remember that if you own or are using a loaner or experimenting with a friend's and they have the standard QWERTY keyboard, some of the commands and the description may vary a bit.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I don't remember most of the QWERTY commands for the Braille Sense Plus. I did work with one last summer or maybe the summer before for a while, but I've honestly forgotten the commands. But they are rather different from the BT commands.
Yes, so that was my experience too.
We don't want to confuse people. We're both talking about the Braille keyboard models of these devices. And also, I guess, to just clarify one thing that I talked about yesterday as well, I talked about the 18-cell version of the Braille Sense called the Braille Sense On Hand. And I probably should have said that it is a very, very small unit. It's about the size of a humanware unit called the Braille Note PK. So it's a very small device that will literally almost fit in your pocket if you have a fairly good sized pocket. And so I just wanted to point that out to people that there's a big range in size, and there is a version of the Braille Sense that does not have a Braille display, a speech only model called the Voice Sense, and it's even a little bit smaller than the Braille Sense On Hand. And I think, doesn't Humanware have those various versions as well?
Yes, they have the Voice Note. Now they don't. There's not, for example, something like a Braille Note On Hand. There's a Braille Note 18 and a Braille Note 32. They function exactly alike, and they are the same from the perspective of size. I would imagine that the 32 cell would be a little bit heavier, but they are alike. But then you do have the Voice Note or the Braille Note, and the Voice Note is just the same unit minus the Braille display with just the speech.
If I'm understanding it right, the Humanware products, both the 18 and 32 cell units are the same size.
Yes.
And the Voice Note is same. I don't know if it's the same size as the Braille units or not, but
I would assume it's a little smaller. I've never seen it.
Okay.
But any of the speech-only note-takers I've seen have been slightly smaller than the speech and Braille note-takers. So just based on that, I would assume that it's a little smaller.
Right. And so one difference maybe is that the HIMS 18-cell and the HIMS speech-only model, the Voice Sense, are very, very small. And you didn't mention, maybe they don't sell it anymore, the Braille Note PK.
You know, I'm not really sure if they do.
Uh-huh.
And they very well might, but with the apex being thin, it is relatively similar in size, probably a bit larger than the PK. So I'm really not sure if they still sell the PK, but I think that the hardware on the Apex is newer. And so, to be perfectly honest, if somebody was going for a note taker, I would suggest, you know, a humanware note taker, I would suggest the Apex over the PK only because the hardware is newer and it probably has more versatility from that standpoint.
I would definitely agree with you. The PK has some trouble running, for example, the current 2011 version of the Sendero GPS. It will run it, but it doesn't make quite all the features available, and some things run pretty slowly because it is old hardware. So it is a nice size, but if you want something the size of the PK, look at the Apex and see how much difference there is in size, and also maybe take a look at the Braille Sense on hand because it is very small.
Right.
Okay, well, let's try to get into the software of these units because I think people will find that interesting and hopefully are ready to hear these machines talk and not hear us talk the whole time. So I'm going to go ahead and power on my Braille Sense Plus here and let you hear what it sounds like when it comes up.
Power on. Biomanager F.
So you heard it say power on, then it played a little bit of power on music. That second beep that you heard was it connecting to the internet. Forgot to turn wireless off. But at any rate, so wireless is built into this unit just like it is into the Apex, and so that's why it connected to the internet. But anyway, I'm sitting at the program menu of the Braille Sense Plus, and I can go through the items in this menu in multiple ways. One way, I can press the space bar and it will just go down through the menu items. I can press space with .4 to move down through the menu items, or space with .1 to move backward through the menu items. I can press space with .456 to go to the bottom of the menus, and space with .123 to go to the top. And those are pretty standard Braille note-taking devices kinds of commands. Most of them are commands we actually had back in the Braille and Speak day.
Yes, we did. And they're pretty much the same on the Braille Note as well.
Okay, so I assumed they were probably pretty much the same. But I'll just briefly run through the menu options here. I'm sitting at the File menu right now, which is the first option here.
File Manager F.
And that takes me into the File Manager, where I can, as it said, open folders, manage files, open files, delete files, things like that. Next we have
Word Processor W. Sense Navigation V. Address Manager A. Schedule Manager S. Email E. Media Player M. FM Radio R. Web Browser B. Daisy Player D. Bluetooth Manager L. Database Manager T. Extras X. Social Networking C. Utilities U. Global Options O. Help H.
So those are the items on the Braille Sense Plus program menu. So as you can see, you have a lot of options here. There are a lot of things that you can do with this unit. There are a few things that have been added in the very recent versions of the unit. We now have a social networking menu where we have a Twitter client and a Google Talks client, and there's also an instant messaging client in that menu. And we have an extras menu where you can add some things. There are some games there, and there's also a Bible that you can load onto the unit if you choose to do that. So bottom line is you have lots of choices that you would expect to find even on your typical personal computer, because you have the word processor, the email, the web browser, a schedule manager, an address manager, on and on and on. And so my point is that these units are really pretty flavor rich in what they offer. And I would assume that you have something similar on the Braille Note.
Yes, very much so. One thing I really like that the Braille Note does not have, and I didn't know until just now that the Braille Sense does, when you turned it on and you had that second beep because you were connected to your wireless network, the Braille Note Apex also now has built-in Wi-Fi, so you don't have to plug in the Wi-Fi card. And that's great, but you can leave it on and not realize it, and it's not something that you want or necessarily need to do because it will really drain your battery. So I like that. The Braille Note also has recently added Google Talk or Google Chat, but we do not have a dedicated Twitter client, and that I think would be a nice feature as well.
The Twitter client is nice, and it's fun to have that on these units. At the same time, though, I think it highlights one of the problems with a device like this, and that is that since the device is completely dependent on HIMS, in the case of the Braille Sense Plus, and HumanWare in the case of the Braille Note, to create the software that runs on these devices, whenever Twitter makes a change to its API, in such that a change has to be made to the Twitter client for it to be able to continue working with Twitter, then you have to wait for HumanWare or HIMS to come out with an update to their firmware. And that's unfortunate, because when you start getting into some of these social networking sites like Twitter and Facebook and Google and so forth, they change their products frequently, and I just wonder how well the note-taking devices are going to be able to keep up.
Yes, well, that happened also when Bookshare changed its procedure for unpacking books, and you were no longer using the Bookshare Unpack tool. You were just unzipping them, and people who, like me, who were used to just using the Bookshare Unpack tool on the Braille Note had to wait until they updated that. And now we do have the capability to unzip and zip not only Bookshare files, but any file. So good came out of it, but we did have to wait for that to be done, you know, for that change to be made and implemented into an update.
I don't use all of these programs to any great degree on the Braille Sense, because I do most of my email, most of my web browsing, most of my word processing on a Macintosh. And so I'm fortunate that I have computer devices in addition to the Braille Sense, but that's not true for everyone. Some people only have want a Braille Sense or a Braille Note, or only want to have one of these note-taking devices. And so I can't really speak to every one of these programs on here in terms of being real familiar with how they work on a day-to-day basis. But of course, I use the word processor to take notes in meetings and things like that. I use the web browser to go to certain sites on the internet, or sometimes to download. I especially like to read the Syndicated Columnist, which is a weekly magazine from National Braille Press. I download that onto my Braille Sense every week, and a lot of times I'll just go grab it directly off the National Braille Press site rather than logging on my computer and downloading it. So I do some things like that, but I'm curious how much use you make of these different programs on your Braille Note, Lisa. And along with that, I'm kind of wondering what you think it would be most helpful for us to focus on in terms of maybe a few of these programs.
I mostly use the word processor and the planner like you do. If I'm traveling and I want to travel light, sometimes I'll just take the Braille Note and I can connect to internet that way, and that works out really well. I can use Internet Explorer. When I was working as a rehab teacher, especially if I hadn't gotten to my email the day before and I knew I had a lot of it, I would download my email in the morning and take it with me and could read it either with Braille or speech when I was in the car if I had a long trip. The one thing that I didn't care for about email is that there's no way to delete a thread, at least not now. So if you had 50 messages about Goldwave and Goldwave didn't interest you, then you had to delete each one by hand. But I like the fact that these options are there if you need or you want them.
Yeah, my trouble with email on the note-taking devices is that I use an email protocol called IMAP, which allows mail to stay in sync between my computer and my iPhone. And at least the BrailleSense Plus does not support the IMAP protocol at this time. I don't know whether the BrailleNote does or not.
I'm not sure because I live out in the boondocks and we don't have IMAP. I could have it, of course, through Gmail or something. But,
right, that's how I'm doing it.
Right, but most of my mail comes through my local provider. So I'm not really sure if it does. The other thing I notice, especially for internet-related activities on the Braille Note and on one or two other note takers I've seen demonstrated, is that it is slower than it would be on a standard computer. I would say that navigating the internet with the Braille Note is not as fast as broadband and not quite as slow as dial-up. Maybe if you have a low-grade sort of broadband connection, that's the best way I can think of to explain the experience.
Well, that's a really good way to put it. I hadn't thought of it that way, but it is a good bit slower. And at least with the BrailleSense Plus, if you need to load a large web page like Blind Cool Tech, for example, that can take a really long time. I do understand that HIMSS is working on this problem of web pages taking as long as the big ones do to load. Smaller ones load pretty fast, but ones with a lot of links load quite slowly, maybe taking 2 or 3 minutes to load. I do understand from talking to people that typically the loading of pages is a good bit faster than that on the Braille Note.
It is, and it has improved with the Apex. The other thing, when I'm using a note taker, if a site has a mobile website, I will use it. And sometimes if I don't know, I'll try it, and I'll type m.whatever.com and
right.
Just see.
Because yeah, that's a good idea. I know you can do that with many of the sites, especially the popular ones that are available, because everyone wants people to be able to access their audible.com or whatever it is on their mobile phone. So they're going
right.
to provide a mobile site. Mm-hmm. And they're just about ideal for these note-taking devices because the sites are smaller, they're less cluttered, fewer graphics on them. They're designed to come up well on a mobile phone.
Exactly.
One thing that's intriguing to me, and it's easy to understand it in some ways, is that these devices, I'm not sure about the Braille Note per se, but the Braille Sense has only a small amount of RAM, like 128K of RAM, and compared to the 2 or 4 or 8 gigs of RAM that we have on our computers, that's a very small amount of working room to load web pages and do things like that. It's intriguing to me, you know, that they work at all, really, but that they do work, and yet I think a lot of people find themselves frustrated with the fact that they are a good bit slower than, as you said, doing it over a broadband connection on a computer. Unfortunately, it's interesting to me, at least in my experience, I've not seen any of the note-taking devices do as well with the internet as, say, the iPhone does. The
right.
iPhone actually has more RAM, but the way that it works somehow, it, at least my phone, loads pages much faster than my note-taking devices do.
You know, there are trade-offs all the time. If you're doing a lot of traveling and your note taker isn't cutting it because you're always having to get online and you're navigating a lot of web pages, then really you should have a laptop. You won't have the nearly instant on capability. You won't have Braille integrated into the same unit, but you'll have your quick computer speed. So it does seem like there are lots of trade-offs.
So lots of times people are going to, if they can possibly afford it, want or need more than one device. It seems like we live in a world these days where it just a lot of times takes more than one device to get the job done. And that's true for screen readers. It's true for information handling devices like these. It's true for all kinds of processes that we're going through now because we're moving more into cloud-based storage and different ways of interfacing with our data, and some devices will handle those things and some devices won't. So you're right, it's a real mixed bag right now.
And it requires a lot of forethought to say, what do I really need versus what looks good and new and shiny and snazzy and looks like fun, but really, you know, maybe I don't need that. It's really a matter, I think, of priorities and sitting down and taking a very careful look at what you actually need and what the deal breakers and deal makers are.
You're right. I'm assuming that there's not much difference, but just so people can hear it, show us the Braille note speaking a little bit. I'm assuming it's going to be similar to the Braille sense, but let's see what it sounds like.
It will. The main thing, first of all, that you'll notice when I turn it on, that there is no power on sound. I think it's a very cool power on sound, but we had discussed this at another time, and you were also saying that that can be turned off.
Most things on the Braille Sense do have options to be turned on or off, and certainly the power on off sound is one of them.
I just thought that was something that was worth mentioning because that was my first thought. Oh, cool sound, but maybe not so cool in a meeting or in church or somewhere like that.
Or if you've heard it 10,000 times.
Well, yeah, there's that too. I'm going to turn this on. One other brief thing to mention. I don't know precisely how much RAM the Braille Note Apex has. I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it. But the Braille Note M-Power had, I forget how many, 100 and something megabytes of memory that you could access. Maybe it was 128, I'm not sure. But now we're dealing with 8 gigabytes. And so it used to be that I would turn my Braille Note on and instantly it would say main menu or the name of the file. There is a little bit of a delay here, and I think that's just because you're dealing with so much more memory. But I'm turning it on now. And that did come up pretty fast, partly just to show me up, and partly because I am at the main menu. As was mentioned with the voice sense, I can navigate through various means. I can use the thumb keys. I can use the space bar. I can use the .4 to move forward and the .1 to move backward, and both of those in conjunction with the space. So let me just go through these.
Word processor. Letter. Address list. Email. Internet.
And that's just the web. That's the web browser.
Chat.
That's Google Talk.
Media Center.
Or Google Chat. I keep calling it Google Talk. Media Center. That is where you manage the recordings, the voice recordings that you make, and you can play audio.
Navigation.
Navigation. That's for GPS. That's an add-on feature.
Book reader. Scientific calculator. Database manager. Games.
These are interactive fiction.
File manager. Utilities. Terminal for screen reader. Keyboard learn. For information, press space with I. For the options menu, press space with O anywhere. End of menu.
And so pretty much most of these are different places that you can go. And then at the end, there were two options. For information, press I. For options, press O, and many things are controlled through the options menu. For example, I noticed on the BrailleSense that there was a Bluetooth manager. Our Bluetooth manager is activated through the options menu.
Right, and the BrailleSense Plus also has an options menu where many more things than were listed on that main program menu are located. It also has a utilities menu similar to the Braille Note where other items, and on my utilities menu, for example, has the calculator, and yours is actually on your main menu there, but the utilities menu
right.
has lots of other things. Looks like, you know, really both units have quite similar software capabilities inside them. I'm not really hearing a whole lot of difference. The BrailleSense Plus does also have an add-on GPS called SenseNav, and it's also developed and sold by the Sendero Group, which does the GPS for the Braille Note products as well.
Right.
A little different interface, but essentially the same capabilities. And I did also hear, you know, your unit mention the terminal mode. And so both these units can be used as Braille displays for computers or with the BrailleSense with the iPhone and iOS devices. And I'm assuming that's true for the Apex as well.
Yes, it is. It's very slick. I love it. I'm curious about your speech synthesizer. It sounds like we're both running Eloquence. I'm wondering if there are any other options in the BrailleSense.
There are not. Eloquence is the only speech option for the BrailleSense.
Okay. There is another option in the BrailleNote Apex, and that is Keynote Speech. I personally do not care for Keynote Speech. For a while, that's all you could get on the BrailleNote. They've added Eloquence in the last few years. One advantage of Keynote Speech, however, is that it runs faster and a little better. I don't mean faster as in the rate of speech, because with all of the devices you can customize rate and volume and pitch, but I mean that it seems to run better from a processing standpoint. Sometimes with Eloquence you'll get some choppy speech.
Oh, I remember that Keynote voice from the olden days.
Yes, save us now. I'm going back to Eloquence. And so I think it's more crisp, it's more clear, it's easy to move through it more quickly. But if you're having a lot of breakups with Eloquence and you don't mind the Keynote speech, then it is there as an option.
Wonder if we could have a power-up race with any semblance of real fairness. I'm kind of thinking about turning off my power-on sound and then counting to three, having us both press our power button on three and see how much longer it takes one of the other units to actually start up. Do you think that'd be a reasonable thing to do?
Sure. You know, it's funny because sometimes I don't know what causes the lag. There are times where someone is spouting off a phone number to me and they're halfway through and I've turned the power on. I'm thinking, where are you? Come on, you know. And it seems to There seems to be some variability, so maybe it has to do with what I was doing before. I don't know, but sure, we can certainly give that a shot.
So the caveat is this is not written in stone, and just because one or the other is faster right now may or may not mean that will be true
exactly.
Every time you power them on. But maybe just to give people are always wondering, you know, what about this instant on feature? How fast does this unit actually come on when you turn it on? One, two, three.
Power on. File manager.
So the BrailleNote clearly came up faster than the BrailleSense at that point.
It's doing it to put me to shame. And actually, I'm wondering if your wireless being on would have delayed that process.
Maybe. Just turned it off. Shall we try
Shall we
it one
it
more
again?
Time just for the record?
Power on.
Sure. One, two, three.
Power on.
Very close. Very close.
Yeah, the BrailleSense says power on. I could turn that off as well. But they are, sounds like pretty close in the amount of time it takes them to power up.
I like the fact that you get the confirmation when you turn it off that it says power off. I mean, on mine, I can, of course, check the Braille display, and you know by the position of the switch, but it's a nice little added extra.
Yes, that is nice. And again, you can start both these units, I'm sure, in total silent mode if you're
yes.
in a meeting or something.
Right.
You simply hold down the letter B when you turn the Braille Sense on, and it will start up in silent mode. Is there any particular application or part of an application that you feel like it would be particularly helpful to spend more time on or touch on in greater detail at this point?
Well, I'm thinking maybe the calendar, because a lot of people use it, and sometimes how the different note takers present the calendar and how you navigate through it can be different. I'm not certain how it's done on the Braille Sense, but that might be something to explore. Word processing is pretty standard. You're presented with a blank document. You have various commands to do, search and replace and find and text attributes and things, but I think there might be more variability in the calendar.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, word processing, maybe I could just say about that is that people always have questions about what kind of documents will these devices support in the word processor. And the Braille Sense Plus will let you open text documents, doc word documents, or .docx word documents. It will open EPUB, .brf files, probably a few others that maybe that I'm leaving out, but those are the primary ones. I assume that the BrailleNote will open roughly the same things.
I can't remember, to be perfectly honest, whether it does DOCX or EPUB for that matter, because I really haven't played with that. But it had traditionally had some trouble in previous releases handling Word files very well. And they've really done a beautiful job and overhauled that completely. For some reason, every once in a while, you'd get the stray Word document that wouldn't read well, or it would say that there was a conversion error and it couldn't read at all. And that's gone completely. And the thing that's really nice also now is that when there is a link, an email address or a website, you can activate that link from right within the Word document. And that used to not be the case. So they've really done beautifully. Many of the other similar files, file types, as you said, KeySoft has its own proprietary format. They have a key text and a key Braille format, which is their own, and it will, of course, open those as well.
And KeySoft is the interface for the Braille,
yes.
Note, right?
Everything is key. KeyMail and KeyChat and KeyWeb and, yeah.
Okay.
But that's nice in a sense because, you know, some people might not like that, and they'd say, you know, well, I want Word for, you know, mobile or pocket PC or whatever. But the advantage of KeySoft is that it is designed for accessibility. And for the most part, KeyWeb is going to work the same way KeyMail is, and the same way KeyWord is, and the same way KeyPlan is, with application-specific exceptions. The other thing I was thinking about, and I'm assuming that this is also the case with the Braille Sense, is that the Apex has the user's manual right on the unit, but there is also context-sensitive help. So if you get stuck and you're not sure how to do something, for example, I rarely tend to spell check on the Braille Note, and so when I do, I have to bring up context-sensitive help and make sure I know how to do that.
Yeah, the Braille Sense has help, which are abbreviated sections of the user's manual, I believe. And I think you can get some of that information in a context-sensitive way when you're in a program. We'll probably see that in a few minutes when we look at the calendar or scheduling program, because that's not something that I actually use on a regular basis, and so I'll have to figure out how to use it, and that'll be a good thing for us to explore a little bit together to see how easy or hard that is to refresh my memory on. But I suspect, and I don't know this for certain, I suspect at this time, the Braille Notes help system is somewhat better than the Braille Census help system. The Braille Census does have a help system, and it is adequate, but I know that when I've used Braille Note products, they really have great help. Let me just say one more thing about word processing before we leave that completely. When I say that the Braille Sense will open these Word documents and these EPUB documents and so forth, it will read them fine, but it is not a substitute for Microsoft Word in the sense that it will not save all the formatting or allow you to do table layout or things that you can do in Word on the Braille Sense Plus. I think really it's saving more like a rich text format than a true doc or .docx format. So if you're looking for something that will let you completely share all aspects of Microsoft Word documents, edit them, and send them back to your colleague and still be perfectly formatted, the Braille Sense at this time is not in a position to do that perfectly. Do you know to what extent you can or can't create and format tables and things like that in the Braille Note and have them be handled appropriately by Microsoft Word?
I know that you can navigate them. I don't know about creating them. I have very little need in the jobs that I'm doing to create forms or tables, so that I'm not sure. But I know that if you have a table from a Word document that's already in place, that you can read that.
I work in an office that lives and breathes Microsoft Word, the .docx format, and none of the note-taking devices that I've used have handled that format perfectly. Usually they will read it better than they will produce it. So mm-hmm. I think that's something that a lot of people really wonder about, and a lot of people hear express frustration that their $6,000-$7,000 note-taking device won't handle something as commonplace as Microsoft Office files as well as one would like. But it sounds like HumanWare is really working on that.
Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about the calendar on the Braille Note, and then I'll take a look at it here on the Braille Sense.
Okay. I'm going to turn my unit back on. I turned it off. And I can either press space or use any of the methods I mentioned before to navigate to the calendar. However, I know that there is a shortcut key. Actually, it's not called calendar. It's called planner. So I'm going to press P. And see, we have the ever-popular key. This is the key plan menu. So I have various things that I can do. But the most common one, the one that I use the most, is open the planner. So I'm going to press enter for today, which is Sunday, July 3rd. Okay, and then it just keeps going. Now, I could have scheduled each one of those as an appointment. I just pressed enter and started typing, so it listed it as an all-day appointment, which is, for better or worse, the way that I usually do things. I'm not always perfect about scheduling an exact appointment. Scheduling it properly, I tend to just open it up and write in my time. But it is good to be able to actually schedule the appointment, especially if you are concerned that you're going to forget. You can schedule an alarm. You can navigate by week.
Tuesday, July 12, 2011. Tuesday, July 19, 2011.
You can move by day.
Wednesday, July 20, 2011. Thursday, July 21st, 2011.
And you can move by month.
Sunday, August 21st, 2011.
You can move by appointment occurrences. You can do a lot of things. Though the day that I'm on right now is Sunday, August 21st, 2011. And instead of pressing enter,
Sunday, August 21st,
okay, I did press enter to just kind of highlight to select that day. Now, normally what I've done is I just press enter and I start typing and it writes all day, but I'm going to do it the right way and I'm going to schedule an appointment. So in this case, I'm going to press space with dots 3 and 4. And then I have an appointment menu with the very standard.
Schedule an appointment.
You can schedule an appointment. Oh, I okay, because there's nothing scheduled, I can't revise, so I can schedule.
Appointment time.
Okay, and then I can choose my appointment time.
Please enter a time.
Oh,
appointment time.
I forgot, it will not let me navigate ahead if I don't, so we'll do this. We'll do it like we're going to schedule an appointment.
1:00, 0:00, p.m. End timer left. Press enter for 12:30 p.m. 30 minutes. Appointment title. Test. Appointment. Location.
Okay, location. Well, we're going to be creative. We're going to say it's in Fiji. How's that?
Excellent.
once. Now, this is nice, the recurrence option, because you can select monthly, weekly, and then you can choose, okay, how do I want this to recur? The first Sunday of the month, the second Monday. So this is great for keeping track of people's birthdays. Fiji sounds like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, so we're going to press enter. Set an alarm on this appointment. It is very loud. You will not miss it. It's the original Wake the Dead alarm. Actually, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say yes. Okay, and then you can set a warning time. So if you have to be in someone's office at 12 o'clock and they are way across the building and you know that before you go to that office, you want to shut down your computer and get a drink. You might set your warning time for 15 minutes. So that's when your alarm will go off. You can select free, busy, out of office. So you have various options. And then when I'm at the end of list, I press my E cord, which is a common kind of old-fashioned term for with the space.
Exit. Schedule his appointment.
So I schedule the appointment.
Yes, appointment scheduled. 12 to 12:30 p.m. test appointment Fiji.
And it tells me 12 to 12:30 p.m. test appointment Fiji. And then I could go in and I could review those appointments details. This also will sync with Outlook. And in all honesty, I used to not care. I thought, you know, my Braille notes always with me. Does it really matter? But I'd have to send my Braille note back for repairs. And I could certainly access my Word documents and such, but the calendar was in this Keysoft proprietary format. So the only way that I can access it is to have it synced with Outlook. And it will sync back and forth. So if I change an appointment on the Braille note, next time I sync, it will change on Outlook and vice versa. And so that's a really helpful feature.
Do you find the syncing works well?
I do. I've only done it a couple times. I had something set wrong, I think, on my iPhone, actually, when I went to sync. And now I have tons of addresses in my, this is addresses, not dates, but I have tons in my C column and my N column because it put all my .com under C and all my .net under N. That's more user error. And, you know, when you fix 300 of those, you're not apt to make that same mistake twice.
Yeah. But, well, syncing is always problematic in one way or another.
Yeah. It can be. The first time took a long time. It took about 20 minutes to sync. But then the second time was not nearly so bad. The only downside is it sounds like the Braille note does not, and I could be wrong here, but it sounds like the Braille note does not multitask to the same level that the Braille Sense does. So, for example, when I'm syncing, that's all I can do. When I'm backing up my files, that's all I can do. I cannot open a Word document. I cannot listen to audio, etc.
I honestly don't know what the syncing capabilities are or are not of the Braille Sense Plus. I've never even thought of trying to sync it with anything, with Outlook, and I don't know whether you can do that or not. I sort of suspect maybe not, but I would have to really dig into that a little bit to try to find out. I'm not sure about that. But it's good that you can do it on the Braille note. And it's not something that I personally have ever worried much about. But again, I don't really use this device for appointments and schedules. I use my iPhone for that.
Yeah, and I'm starting to more. I think it just way back when I had a Braille and Speak, and I had that before I had a computer or anything.
Yeah.
And so engraved on my brain, like the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone, is thou shalt keep appointments in thy note taker.
Sure.
And so, sometimes there's no logical reason to explain why someone will use one thing or why someone won't. I mean, I use the calendar. You use, the word processor or something else.
Right.
Just because, for example, I can think of one. Just because I don't use the Google Chat feature doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It just means I have enough other stuff to do that's not really a super priority.
Right.
Or I have a better way of doing it. And that's, that's an important thing to note. Neither of us work, as salespeople for these companies. We're users of the technology. And as users, we have things that we use more and things that we know better.
Right. And I do understand the attraction of the Braille Note planner. I remember well how nice that planner is with Braille and speech, and how quickly you can jump around from different dates and locate which appointments are still on the calendar and so forth. I know it's a very nice, very nicely done piece of software in the Braille. I remember that well. So it makes sense that you would use that. I will open the Schedule Manager, which is what they call it here on the BrailleSense Plus, and I don't have any appointments in it, but we can see what comes up, see how it works. So I'm just going to press Enter on the Schedule Manager right now.
Find date, Sunday, July 3rd, 2011.
It says find date, and it's showing me today's date, July the 3rd. I have no idea what I need to do from here. So let's press the space with H to see if we can get some help.
Enter date, millimeters DDI.
So it says enter date, and the Eloquence mistranslated it, but it showed me on the Braille display I enter an MM for month, and then a slash, and then a DD for date, and four Ys for year. That's the help that came up.
Move forward 1 day, space dot six.
And I can move through this help, this little help information, and see that I can move forward by day using space dot six.
Move backward 1 day, space dot three. Move forward 1 week, space dot five.
This is a lot like the Braille Note.
Yeah.
Calendar. The navigation keys are the same.
Okay, so the navigation keys, it sounds like, are very similar.
Move backward 1 month, space dot one. Move forward 1 year, space dot 5 6. Move backward 1 year, space dot 2 3. Move forward 1 hour, space dot 4.
That's different.
Move backward 1 hour, space dot 1. Move forward 10 minutes, space dot 5. Move backward 10 minutes, space dot 2. Move forward 1 minute, space dot 6. Move backward 1 minute, space dot 3. Find, enter, tab, space dots 4 5, or shift tab, space dots 1 2. Add a new schedule, enter I, dots 2 4. Open program menu, space M, dots 1 3 4. Set alarm options, enter O, dots 1 3 5. Configure backup options, enter E, dots 1 5. Backup schedule data, enter U, dots 1 3 6. Restore schedule data, enter R, dots 1 2 3 5. Toggle search mode, enter F, dots 1 2 4. Exit, space Z, dots 1 3 5 6. Enter date, millimeters DDI.
So now we're back to the enter date instructions, and as you can see, these help instructions are very cryptic. They're very brief, but they do tell you what the possibilities are and what you can actually do. And I don't have any dates entered, and since you demonstrated that on the Braille Note, I don't think I will actually set up an appointment here, but it's done in a very similar way to the way that you demonstrated nicely, that it works perfectly well with both the speech synthesizer and on the Braille display. And I have used this schedule scheduling manager occasionally to set up an appointment and particularly to have an alarm go off to remind me that I needed to do this or that thing. And it works just fine. So I would say that for someone who wants an accessible planner, an accessible calendar, these note-taking devices do a very fine job of providing that, in my experience. The calendars and on the computers and on the phone devices certainly speak and certainly can be used, but they're not quite as customized for a speech environment or a Braille environment as these are. So,
right. I think the main difference from what I could tell is on the Braille Sense, you could move by time increments. By adding the space, you could move by month by pressing .4 or .1.
Right.
On the Braille Note, it was .4 or .1 with the space, but the space on the Braille Sense added the ability to move by time increments so that
right.
if you were, you know, if you had your day scheduled that closely in 5-minute increments, to me that sounds like a recipe for a very frazzled kind of day.
Sure
but
has,
if you did,
it?
If you did, you could that way.
Yes, you could. And the Braille Sense does offer the capability to allow one to just jump to the next scheduled appointment, which is nice because you can quickly scan through your calendar, through your day, through your week, and see where your appointments are.
It also sounded like you had, I'm not certain, but it sounded like you have the ability to add an additional schedule. So if you wanted to, for example, put in your son's soccer schedule, you could have that as a separate schedule. So you could view that, or you could view like work versus personal. You could have them on the same, or you could have them on different calendars.
Yes.
At least from the sounds of it.
Yes, you can set up different schedules, different calendars like that. I think that today's note-taking device is really quite adequate for much of what a person who's blind would want or need to do electronically. I think probably for me, the internet connectivity, the web browsing, the email, the information handling online is probably the thing that is, at the very least, slower or lacking in features that I've grown accustomed to on the computer or even on the iPhone.
I'm wondering if we want to load a web page just to show how that works, how that looks.
Sure.
We could do National Braille Press.
So we can just do nbp.org.
We could do the same 1, 2, 3, type it in, and then press enter on a count of three, and just give an idea of how fast they do or do not load.
www.nbp.org.
1, 2, 3.
Starting web browser. http://www.nbp.org. NBP, promoting Braille literacy, Braille books, and other Braille publications.
Okay, you're there.
NBP, promoting Braille literacy, Braille books,
and other
Braille
publications.
And now I'm
there. Right.
So it took just a little bit longer for the Braille Sense Plus to load the page.
The higher progress tones you heard were from the Braille Note, and the more moderately pitched ones were from the Braille Sense.
Okay.
I could see people saying, you know, which beeps are which.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point. So I'm sitting at the top of this page here, and if I read the first line, I get
NBP promoting Braille literacy.
I would assume that's what you get.
Whoops, nope, stop. Well, it said it when I first brought it up. I saw it in Braille, but now it's giving me skip home page links.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's see.
I'm going to go
down here and see if I get to that.
Braille books and other Braille publications. Link, skip home page links to the main content.
Right, that's the first link on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all kinds of ways to move around on the Braille Sense Plus. You can have it read the whole page. You can move by links. You can move by headings. You can move by the traditional ways that most of the screen readers will let you move around a page. Maybe not quite as many of them, but there are quite a few of them available on the BrailleSense Plus, and I would assume that the browser is similar on the Braille Note?
I would think so. To be honest, I don't use it that much. The main things I use are move by link and move by form field.
The BrailleSense does allow you to bring up a list of links on the page, for example, and you can just go down through that list.
Links list dialog box.
I just, home page links to the main just brought that up, and it'll just let me move through the links.
National Braille Press 263. Home 363. Customize the site 463.
And it's telling me that this is customize this site is link 4 of 63 links on the page. And so that's one way to move through what's on a page. And of course, as we're having the speech say these things, they're also simultaneously showing up on the Braille display.
If you just have the page reading and the Braille flashes by and there's a link that you want, all you have to do is touch a cursor routing button contained in the link and it will go ahead and go to that link.
Right. I'm assuming that the Braille Note has some symbols to display what the item is. Like, for example, on the BrailleSense Plus, it'll say LN for link, which is just before a link.
It doesn't have that, but it has symbols, the OW sign or dots 2, 4, 6 delineate the beginning of a link, and the letter O delineates the end. Now, for all I know, there could be some special characters, but that's how they look, you know, when okay. Just reading on the Braille, as they look like the OW and the O. It kind of almost gives the impression of a little left arrow and a right arrow.
Okay. So they do operate slightly differently with the way they let us know what the particular type of item is on the page. The BrailleSense uses two-letter abbreviations that are pretty obvious. It uses EB for edit box and LN for link and things like that. So you kind of have to learn what those abbreviations are if you're reading the web page in Braille. But once you have used those a couple times, it becomes pretty clear.
Yeah. Now, my edit box is the AND sign and the Y for those who are Braille readers. And so there is some symmetry there. For example, there's a symbol, the dollar sign or the ED sign, and then LS for a list. The dollar sign or the ED sign is traditionally used for formatting kinds of symbols and characters. So they're using kind of a combination of things, but it's pretty intuitive, especially once you've seen it once or twice, it makes sense.
Right. And so it would probably not make a whole lot of difference, at least to me, which unit I used to browse the web. I could quickly get used to either set of symbols or set of abbreviations without much problem. So I wouldn't see it as a major factor in someone, you know, trying to make a decision about which unit they would prefer to browse the web. They actually both work quite well if they work at all. They don't support some of the things like Flash. And I've also had some experiences where the BrailleSense, at least, although it's gotten better in the latest version of the firmware, I've had some experiences where, for whatever reason, it would not see or would not connect to a given wireless network. Or sometimes I'd be in a situation in a hotel, for example, where it would connect to the wireless network, but it wouldn't load the homepage of the hotel, which is required to say, yes, I want to use this network. So you'd kind of get stuck in a loop where, yeah, you could connect, but you couldn't actually complete the process to actually get on the internet.
Exactly. I've noticed that some, too. I had more experiences with that using the MPower than I have with the Apex, so I don't know if that is improved, but it seems like there are the few odd sites that are difficult.
Yeah. So I think for me that pretty well covers what I wanted to do with the web browser. You have any other comments or thoughts about it you want to add to this piece?
No, not really. I think by showing you a few of the applications, basically what we've shown you is that there is uniformity and in the way that you access the applications, in the way that you look for help, in the way that you gain information. And the feeling that I'm getting, especially as I'm learning more about the Braille sense through doing this podcast, is it's not a duel. It really is a comparison. We can't say this device is better than that device. This device is a clear winner because they both have strengths and weaknesses. Some have features that the other doesn't, and vice versa. But the beauty of both of them, it seems, that there is a uniformity. And once you learn the basic principles of how to navigate one application, you're pretty well set to do the same with the others.
HumanWare is really known for its easy to use, consistent, key soft interface. And if you like that way of working, it's a very good choice. If you are more wedded to, more comfortable with a more Windows-like interface, then the Braille Sense might be your choice or might be the one to take a careful look at. The interfaces allow you to accomplish roughly the same things, but the way that you get around them is a bit different. The Braille Sense really does highlight its ability to do multitasking, to have several programs open at once, and to be able to switch between those programs. You can listen to music while you read your email, or you can have a word processing document open and jump to the web browser, for example. Things like that are quite doable on this unit. So I don't know really how one would go about listening to this podcast and making a decision, other than hopefully this provides you with enough of an idea to whet your appetite and encourage you maybe to go out and look at both units. We haven't really talked about price. I don't even know the exact price of the Braille Sense Plus. I think it's around $6,000 without the GPS option, and more, maybe closer to $7,000 with. I assume the Apex is similarly priced.
I think it is, but then again, too, we're also talking differences in Braille display size. I think that the 18-cell model is somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,900. Usually when you double the size of the Braille display, the price does go up by about $2,000. So right. I would say that's about right. And I know you and I had talked about the whole issue of, is a note taker even needed in today's market? And I think that's a whole additional issue. You know, what are some of the reasons to have note takers? Why might you decide that you could accomplish the same thing with a different device?
I know that you told me you were going to be doing something for accessibleworld.org. Are you going to be discussing some of these issues?
Not so much the whole issue of why have a note taker at all, but more, I'm going to be talking more from the standpoint of, so you've decided to get a note taker. How do you decide which company to go with? How do you decide, do you want the smaller display or the larger display? Do you want Braille or do you want QWERTY input? I've worked with several configurations with QWERTY, with 18, with 32 cells, various things, and have some definite thoughts on that. So that will hopefully at least help people to think about what they're choosing. So many people say, well, you know, this is what my rehab counselor will buy, or this is what my friend has. But, you know, really, it's not your rehab counselor. It's not your friend that's going to be using it. And so it's important to be informed and make the best choice that you can.
Sounds like that presentation that you're going to do would be a perfect complement, perfect follow-up to this podcast. And so you said that's going to happen sometime in August over at accessibleworld.org.
It is tentatively scheduled for August 15th, which is a Monday, at 8 Eastern on their Tech Talk.
It's a very nice format with really nice people over there. You
yes.
need to run the Talking Communities client to access the Accessible World Tech Talk presentation. That's a automatic download if you go to www.accessibleworld.org and click on the Tech Talk page. If you don't have the client installed, it will download it for you. That's mm-hmm. assuming you're on a Windows machine. There is a Mac version of the client, but it's not very mature at this point and doesn't work very well, especially with the Tech Talk page, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is if you are unable to listen at the time, there are archives, and they tend to be posted roughly 2 to 4 days after the event, so you can look for them in the archives.
I think that for me, the real value, the real benefit in one of these note-taking devices is the Braille display. If it wasn't for the fact that I really value Braille tremendously, it helps me in my job, because in meetings and in places where I need to quickly review and take down information, I just don't know of a substitute that would work nearly as well for me as Braille. And refreshable Braille on these type devices is very, very nice for things like that. More and more, it's possible to integrate these and other Braille devices with cell phones and to actually use a Bluetooth connection to have the information that's being displayed on your phone displayed on the Braille display. And so you can use your phone silently in a meeting. You can browse the internet actually through your phone's web browser, or you can do anything really that you can do on your phone with speech. You can do it on the Braille display if your phone supports one of these Braille display devices. And so there are many uses for these, and as I've said, even though I don't use on a regular basis all of the programs that are on my Braille Sense on Hand, it's really invaluable to me. And I will say, just kind of as we start winding up here, that another great use of these devices is for GPS navigation, and there's no substitute for what Sendero has to offer in terms of complete GPS with information about where you are, where you're going, what's around you, everything that you need to really have a travel experience, both a real one and a virtual one, is possible with these GPS systems on these devices. And so that sort of gives, I think, all of us something to think about. Yes, there are GPS solutions on cell phones and on other platforms, and yet, in my experience, some of them are pretty good, but they're not as complete as what's offered here.
Yes, and some of them, if you don't have a Braille display paired to your iPhone, if you're in a loud area, then hearing the audio is iffy. I really like the fact that with Sendero, you can create a route and set it to vehicular or pedestrian, because, of course, the kinds of information that you would receive and that you would need would be different. I primarily right now am working, like I said, part-time as an access technology instructor, looking for full-time in that field. But right now, I find that if a client of mine is doing something and I'm connected remotely to their computer and I need to look up something, some procedure or some step, I can do that and they can continue on with what I'm having them do, and I don't have to, for example, temporarily exit the remote session or switch windows. I have another device where I can pull up this information, and that has been very helpful. When I worked in rehab teaching, I used it to do evaluations of my clients. When I first started working as a rehab teacher, I was actually doing my internship, and I was using a Braille and Speak, which did not have a Braille display on it. And so I had an earphone in one ear and the client or the phone on the other ear. And one time somebody was talking to me, a coworker, when I was in the office. I had the Braille and Speak going in the other ear, and the phone rang, and without thinking, just parroting back the voice and the tone I heard in a very almost electronic kind of monotone sound, I answered the phone that way. It was not one of my finer moments. I was just really glad my supervisor was not around to hear that one.
Yeah, I can sure see how that could happen, though, because it gets pretty confusing trying to multitask with speech and listening to something else at the same time.
It does.
I certainly have had that experience.
Having the Braille is just so invaluable.
I'm a big advocate for Braille, and it saddens me greatly to see it having been used less over the years and being taught less over the years. And so I really hope that it will continue the comeback that I think it started to make in some ways. Well, I think we'll put the wraps on it here for now. I hope you all find this information helpful and useful, and please let us know your comments. You can reach me by sending email to techdoctor123@gmail.com. The website is dr-carter.com. What's your contact information, Lisa?
My email is lisa@lisasalinger.com. lisa@lisasalinger.com. And my website, which has some of my podcasts. I've just recently started producing the Creative Solutions podcast. You'll find them there. And that is lisasalinger.com.
I really recommend you all check out the Creative Solutions podcast. I've thoroughly enjoyed them, and I think you'll find a lot there. So check that one out.
Thank you. And Salinger is spelled with one L. So that's S as in Sam, A-L-I-N as in November, G-E-R.